We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Today, we're talking law and order. We're talking about the Independence Day activities that are tomorrow, which also bring, we hope, a lot of water. And we will find out more about things that you should be doing and maybe some things you should not be doing. Visiting with us this morning, Captain Clayton Williams. Clayton, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us. Are you ready for the 4th of July?
I'm so ready.
You sound excited.
I was hoping maybe for some of that cooler temps that we had a couple days ago, or last week. Yeah, it'd be nice if that would have hit. So, but it's okay.
Yeah, we'll make it.
We'll survive.
Yes, sir. You brought some friends with you.
Yes. We got Deputy Chief Kerry Gensmer here to my left.
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Bart.
And then, of course, we couldn't do it without Larry Flowers over here. He keeps us all informed and abreast of what's going on. He's the guy behind the scenes that makes everything happen.
Good morning, Bart.
How are you, Larry? Good to see you. He's the one pulling the strings all that stuff. He's the puppeteer or whatever.
Larry is, I shared an office beside Larry for a very long time when he first started coming there. And that dude's got more energy than anybody I know. Works harder than anybody I know, and he'll get the job done for you, and we appreciate the heck out of him.
Very definitely. We've got a good police department here.
We got a great team of people. Chief Gensmer here. I've worked with him since I started here. Another guy, he's very in tune with fireworks and special events. He worked on that side of the house for a long time with us, and like I said, it's not much that he hadn't been thrown his way that he can't handle. So I'm sure he's probably going to be glad he may get to enjoy this one from afar this year. But
I might actually get the day off.
Yeah. So, a lot of work goes into that, a lot of people doing things so that folks can enjoy that time.
You've seen a lot of 4th of July's come and go,
I have.
You've learned what is needed and some things that are not needed. Share with us some of the things people need to know about laws in Murfreesboro dealing with fireworks and why we're really encouraging people to head over to the fountains.
Well, so for years, Murfreesboro Police Department has been really kind of, we have to overstaff and have always had to overstaff the 4th of July, essentially because of fireworks. And then over the years, we kind of had some laws that have changed specifically regarding when you can and cannot use fireworks and what kind of fireworks are legal in the city limits of Murfreesboro. So just for your listeners out there, fireworks are only legal on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of July. And that's from 10 a.m. until midnight is when those fireworks are able to be shot off. So we just wanted to encourage everybody that, out of respect for your neighbors, it's time to shut it down after midnight during the 4th of July holiday if you're going to be shooting fireworks. And also let everybody know that inside the city limits of Murfreesboro, it's not legal to shoot bottle rockets or mortar rounds or launchable fireworks. So that's just a couple of the things we like to put out there every year that keeps the public informed of what they can and can't do.
Now, with the regulations the way they are, people are able to buy fireworks, just you can only fire them on 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Somebody always gets, they miss the word, it seems, because you hear fireworks all through the weekend.
That we still have a lot of issues we have to address. People don't get the information.
And our neighbors in the county, the rules are a little bit different for them. So sometimes that may be sometimes what people are hearing. But,
right.
Yeah. What are there rules in the county?
The time frame is, I think, after midnight's the same. It's just the date. They're not limited on the days. Is that correct?
I'm not familiar with the county laws regarding fireworks. I know that they don't have the restrictions on the types of fireworks like we do in the city limits, and a little bit looser. regulations in the county.
Yep.
Once in a while, we've had some pretty unusual types of events that people use bottle rockets aiming at people and things of that sort. That's very dangerous.
They are. They're very dangerous. I mean, they are small explosives, so the last thing you want to do is use those fireworks in a manner that is, that's not recommended by the... You need to read the instructions on everything. Fireworks would be a great thing that people... We encourage everybody to read the instructions on fireworks.
Very definitely. And also keep in mind, these are hot times, and hot times bring lack of water, dry ground, dry trees, everything. Everything's more flammable.
That's true. And while we're fortunate in Murfreesboro, it hasn't been terribly dry. This time of year with fireworks, we're always concerned about the risk of fire. So another reason to encourage everybody to use those fireworks responsibly.
Now, if somebody is, if you're concerned about somebody shooting rockets and fireworks near your house and they're aiming them nearby and things are sort of dry at your place, can you call the police, or what do you do? What should someone do?
That would be what I think all of us would encourage. If you're having a problem that you don't think you can handle on your own, that's what we're here for. If somebody is causing a dangerous situation for you or for your neighbors, and you feel like it's a safety concern, then absolutely please give us a call.
In fact, this is one of those things where those of you who had that good neighborhood feeling where everybody knows each other, maybe you can get together as a neighborhood and have a 4th of July get-together out on the street or something.
Yes, sir.
It's probably too late to get to know each other real closely if you haven't done it already, but it's a good time to start.
Well, there you go.
In fact... Amy still doing her neighborhood watch program?
Is that, I think that's transitioned.
So Amy has been promoted to the rank of lieutenant, and she is now taken over our instructor and teaching responsibilities at the police department. She's the general department instructor, so she is essentially the chief in charge of all police training and make sure that we get all of our required training courses in. So she's transitioned into that next step in her career. She's doing a fantastic job. We're super proud of Amy.
So she is really involved in the training of
yes, sir.
The whole force.
She's completely changed gears from the community side and the community relations side now into the training side. And she's hit the ground running. We're real proud of the work that she's doing.
I know you've been promoting on the radio in different places. We need to hire new officers. She has a whole new crew of people coming in on a regular basis to train.
She does, yes, sir. That's always a heavy lift for our police department, is keeping our new officers trained up and scheduled to go to the police academy. She fortunately has... a fellow lieutenant in the Administrative Services Division that helps out with that is Lieutenant Josh Meredith, and he's over our field training and evaluation program, so he helps her out with that part.
So are we catching up to our needs? I know the city is growing in leaps and bounds, and we need more officers. Are we catching up, or are we still behind?
Well, I had an interesting conversation the other day that kind of leads me to believe that we're gaining ground, and that was we're in need of examining our radio inventory, because typically we have turnover radios. If an employee leaves, we take their radio and we hand it down to the new person coming in. Well, we have a lot less radios in inventory, so we're going to have to look at that for buying some new portable radios, which kind of gives me an idea that maybe we are gaining a little bit of ground.
Well, that's good news. I think people don't realize we're talking about big dollars when we talk about radios with body cameras and things of that sort. I know the radios alone, the old radios were analog, much less expensive. These new ones are all high-definition, costly radios. You throw in some body cams and things of that sort. What does it cost to outfit a new officer?
Oh, I wasn't prepared for that one, Bart.
Sorry about that.
A lot. It costs a lot of money to equip them. I know a body camera can run, these new versions that are coming out, can be about $850
wow.
a unit. And I believe the portable radios can be between $6,000 to $9,000, depending on the features that you have. Whoa. There's a lot of technology that is in these radios.
Yeah.
Well, you have a lot of infrastructure that supports them too. They're very technological pieces of equipment. So, with that, you know, technology costs money, unfortunately, yeah. And it's constantly, those prices are constantly increasing, and we're always trying to be cognizant of how much those things cost, and we try to look at that with a lot of scrutiny.
And in the police cars, they are very high tech also. I mean, you have the radios, you have another set of cameras.
Very high tech, yes, sir.
Is,
a lot of equipment.
Is that more expensive than what the officer carries on them?
Well, absolutely. Luckily, Captain Williams here is kind of taken over a big part of that responsibility of the police department with the vehicle, so he can probably answer a little bit more accurately on that cost.
We the in-car radio, it's actually a little less expensive than the handheld. I think it's just because of the you have it in a smaller package and portability. But yeah, luckily our leadership within the department and also with city leadership, gosh, it's been going on for years now, made a significant investment into our radio system that included additional tower sites, included, as you mentioned, switching from analog to digital. And it's also given us a great opportunity to expand our interoperability with MTSU, Smyrna, Laverne, and the Sheriff's Office, so that this system, we've made that available for them to come on as well, so that we could communicate with them in case we had a situation where we needed to have that direct line, you know, much like what we saw back in 2017, 2020, or, you know, the event of another tornado. But back to your point, yes, that's something we're very keenly aware every time that we go back to say to council when we have to build out some more vehicles. It's that price tag just continues to go up, and it's not because we're buying, you know, per se. I don't, this may be an old term, but Cadillacs. We're buying police cruisers, which are nice cars, but everything just continues to rise in price, and it's unfortunate that with the advent of body cam, what that's done for us, and we enjoy it, we just have to remember that it comes with a cost, and we appreciate that council and the city here has felt like that's a priority, because we've seen the evidence that I don't think that's ever anything that we could ever go back from now. It's just such a wonderful piece of technology for transparency to the public, but also teaching tool, accountability tool, and the officers really, really appreciate it, because it lets folks see, you know, if we do come into question on incidents, it lets everyone see exactly what was going on at the time, at that moment, so that we can, you know, get a better idea of what was going on exactly that time, and make the best decision on the outcome of that.
Our world has changed and continues to change very quickly. I know in other cities you see many times when the body cams have shown that the police officer was doing the right thing, and there's visual proof of that. A listener writes us and asks, has that been the case here in Murfreesboro? Have the body cameras paid for themselves?
I don't know if I would say pay for themselves.
We haven't really had that aha moment where the body camera is...
Which is really good.
Sure. And I attribute a lot of that to the men and women of the Murfreesboro Police Department. True. We've got some incredibly professional police officers and detectives and staff, all the way from our communications professionals to the detectives to our administrative help. We have an incredible staff of people at the Murfreesboro Police Department, and I think we haven't had that moment where we've had to completely rely on the body camera to save us from an allegation. Because of that, we have people out there that are doing great work every day, and very, very professional staff.
Do you think that people, when they call for help from a police officer, that they are aware that this officer has a body cam? I mean, is it pretty obvious?
It's very obvious.
Do they react differently?
I'm not sure if the public reacts differently, but it is very apparent when an officer walks up. You can see most of the officers wear the body camera on their vest right in the center of their chest to get the best, you know, viewpoint for the lens of the camera. So it's a pretty, you know, it's a device kind of the size of a cell phone. It's hard to miss.
And then in the police car, if this is a traffic stop, is there another camera? When you watch TV shows, you see a camera view from the car, and you also get a view from the body cam. Do you get those same pictures?
We do. We do. We have cameras in the windshield or dash cameras in the police cars, and there's a camera inside the interior of the police car that focuses on the back seat should an officer make an arrest. There's video footage in the back seat of the police car if they're transporting somebody to the jail or having to drive somebody somewhere. There's video recording of that.
So this situation that we saw in the news over the past few days of a really skinny person who was arrested slipped in between the crack of the I guess the guard thing in the back of the police car, was able to squeeze through that and then escape with the police car handcuffed. That's not going to be possible here.
Well, a lot of that, the officer has to make sure that his the window in between the divider in the back seat, the prisoner compartment of the police car, they have to make sure that it's shut and locked.
Okay,
and if it's
so
shut
guy,
and locked, it would be a miracle if they could get out with it being shut and locked without having to break a window.
So he got through a window. Oh, I thought he squeezed in between an open space between the
seats. I'm not familiar with the situation that you're talking about.
There was a, you remember, a out on the interstate in South Church Street. It wasn't our case. We assisted.
Oh, where
it was
the guy doing the transport from the other
right,
county.
Right, from a different county.
Yeah,
so
they're back in the, it depends on their car, those cages, the old ones, they kind of, when they came up, there was a gap between like the roof line and the, but we've actually got some pieces. They make parts to cover that. And also we've introduced that in our cars. And also we have window, there's covers that go over the window themselves so that you, it's, and it's like a Lexan type material. You can't just like kick it out like a window. So, but yeah, that, I think that was more of a case of, that it was just, there's a lot going on with that particular case. But yeah, we, I'd love to say we have never had anybody slip behind. You have some people who are double jointed and they can actually slip their feet through the handcuffs and get them in front of them. We've had people, you know, it's just amazing what people will do to avoid going to jail. So
interesting. And it's amazing how slender. I've never had that problem.
Not that, that won't be me.
We'll be right back. We're talking this morning about law and order here in the heart of Tennessee. 4th of July is tomorrow. If you have some specific 4th of July questions, feel free to text them to us, 615-893-1450. If you have a question, text that to us also. We'll be right back.
If you want to talk sports, you want to talk local, you want to talk with Monty Hill Jr. and Tim Tackett, it's All Sports Talk, weekdays at 5 on WGNS.
Hi, this is Peter Demas. One of the things that we've done years ago is we've been able to do our orders, like our pastas and many other items, that we used to be able to put them in large pans, and now we have a catering team that will even deliver it to your home. We can drop it off for you, set it up, or they can come in and pick it up. Look up our catering menu on www.demasrestaurants.com. This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. We have all the items needed to spoil your pet, toys, food, treats, and more. Whether you're a new pet parent or a very experienced one, you'll find the items and help you need here at Animal City. We are proud and thankful to be celebrating our 33rd year in the Murfreesboro community. That's Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro. Please check out our Facebook page.
Good morning. Traffic still moving out here right now on all the major inbound routes. It was a little bit slow out in Dixon County a few minutes ago on 40 East right there where it connects with 840 headed towards Kingston Springs. A little bit busy there on 40 at Fessler's. All that traffic still coming through the Donaldson Hermitage area in from Wilson County right now where there's lots of radar out here this morning. Be careful. Hey, whether you need a new roof, a roof repair, or a roof inspection, Independent Roofing Specialist has you covered. Check out their website. It's shortened down to irsroofs.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
A heat advisory will go into effect this afternoon. Skies become mostly sunny this afternoon, high in the upper 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 77. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS.
Currently, it's 79.
Hi, this is Ryan with Tire World Laverne, here to serve all your automotive needs in Rutherford County. We welcome all your fleet and commercial accounts, along with all your regular routine maintenance. Tire World, a hometown family business you can trust.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
The Rick and Bubba Show, weekdays, noon till 2 on WGNS.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Hey, welcome back. Our phone number, 615-893-1450. Happy birthday to Dana Cox, our winner today of that delicious banana pudding from the Slick Pig Barbecue. Happy birthday, Dana. And our good neighbor of the day is Thomas Laird with Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department. Thomas receives flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts at 117 South Academy Street. Thomas Laird always helping to promote the Miracle Field right there at SportsCom. Does a wonderful job of that, as well as the golf tournaments and things of that sort, all at SportsCom and Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department, all over. Yeah, absolutely. Our phone number, 615-893-1450. Murfreesboro Police Department's Deputy Chief Kerry Gensimer is with us this morning, along with Captain Clayton Williams and Public Information Officer Larry Flowers. So if you have a question, we have some folks who have some big answers for you. Just give us a shout. 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. And we have a question here, listeners asking about traffic situations. Traffic is still a big problem where they live, and they say they live in the downtown Murfreesboro area. The traffic seems to be getting busier and busier, and people are parking in large numbers on the streets, making it difficult for cars to travel down those streets at some times of the day. Is there any violation that people are doing when they park in the streets and create traffic issues?
So parking laws, there's a lot to the parking laws. If you read the not only the state law but the city ordinance regarding parking, there's a lot of measuring distances that you can park from a driveway or from a stop sign or from an intersection. You can't block mailboxes. One of the biggest issues that I think we have seen is people parking against the flow of traffic. So you'll go down some of these more congested inner city streets and you will see cars facing the wrong direction parked up against the curb. If you are going to park street side against a curb, it's important that you're facing the proper direction. If you're going to be on the right curb, the front of your car needs to be facing the right direction, as if it was able to pull off and merge into traffic. Big reason for that is cars have reflective lighting on the backs, indicating, you know, giving motorists a warning that they can see them. So that's, I understand that to be an issue, and I drive downtown nearly every day, and I see it at times too. And what we try to do is take a proactive approach. If we have areas where there are parking complaints or issues that we see, we try to take care of that. Nobody likes to get a parking ticket. Most of our officers will try to get some voluntary compliance from the owner of the vehicle before they write them a ticket. Unfortunately, sometimes they have to write a ticket. But if anybody or if your listener has any complaints, They can absolutely reach out to us either on the website, on the traffic complaint link on the Murfreesboro Police Department website, and that will be answered typically within the day. And or they can give me a call. My phone number is 629-201-5540, and I would be happy to help them if they have specific issues that they would like addressed.
And we have a text here about another parking question. This one's pretty different. This one's dealing with the 4th of July fireworks. They said it's pretty crowded over at the fountains, and with the high fireworks, they can see them from all around. Can you park in parking lots of businesses? Can you park at some of the doctor's offices that are closed? Is there any law about where you can or cannot park?
Well, private property is regulated by the private property owners. This year, we are fortunate at the fountains for the celebration under the stars that the very large field across from the fountains next to Murfreesboro Fire and Rescue Department Station 4 is going to be opened up for parking. At least that's my understanding. It'll be pretty obvious if you're pulling up to that event. Parking is hard to miss where you can and can't park. But I know some of the churches around open up their parking lots. Some of the private businesses open up their parking lots. I would encourage anybody planning to view the fireworks from private property to be mindful of any signage that might be posted regarding trespassing or any, hey, you can't park here, and if you are parked here, you're subject to be towed. Just be mindful of signage. Be mindful of businesses that are open that may be wanting to save those parking spots for their customers. So things like that. I know there's a lot of parking around the area where you can see the fireworks probably just as well as if you were in the event, where you can avoid some of that traffic.
And Bart, we'll have plenty of officers out there if somebody goes out to the area and is not really sure, and it's not readily apparent, they can ask one of our officers. They'll have them stationed all around the area. Just they'll be glad to ask and also help them out, get somewhere parked, and they'll help get them out when it's over with. And just would ask anybody that's going over there for that once it's over, just to exercise some patience, and because usually it's a pretty good crowd and takes a little while to get everybody out of there. So
yeah, but have patience.
Yeah, hey, enjoy the time. You know, like you said, pack you a sandwich or something, yeah. And after it's over, talk with your friends about how great it was before you leave, maybe.
That's a good point. Here's a question. We haven't had this one in a while. This person says, with the growth in our community, we've seen a growth in need for police officers in particular areas of town. At one point, there was a discussion about having police precincts. Is that still being considered?
Yes. As the city grows, the police department is going to have to grow. Just like all of the other support services are going to have to grow. You'll see more fire stations in the years to come, and more than likely a police precinct. Right now we have a hard time getting from our headquarters building at North Highland over here over to the west side of town. And for anybody who's driven in Murfreesboro lately, getting out Old Fort Parkway to the west side of Murfreesboro is sometimes challenging because of traffic. So we have been in the talks about expanding our operations to put police officers in other areas of the cities where they can kind of grow roots and become part of that community. I know we've talked about needing a presence on the west side of town. For years and years, we have had little micro police precinct offices in certain neighborhoods in the community. Like I used to work out of the Franklin Heights Police Precinct back in the early 2000s.
That worked out well, didn't it?
It did. It worked out very well. I think that started the big community policing push to have officers working and existing in the communities they serve. We did that for a long time with a lot of success.
Now, as you've discussed, obviously this is a current topic. As you've discussed locating police precincts, are there any buildings that are already in these areas that you could use, like fire stations or just buildings that are there and not being used for other purposes?
I know that's something we're always keeping our eyes open for, is when we see a facility that looks like it might suit our needs. We're always kind of paying attention to that. and seeing if that's, because existing buildings can oftentimes be cheaper than new construction.
Oh, yeah. So, you found that with nowadays. The Maine Police Department.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, we learned a lot with the Maine Police Headquarters, too. You look at a build. I know I'll use the, for example, the old Rite Aid over at the corner of Gresham Park. And I know at one point the city looked at that, turning that into a couple of administrative offices, maybe for back when they were talking before they built this facility of Parks and Rec and maybe fire admin. But the issue is once you go in and look at it and the things that you have to do to get it to where you need it, whether it be some of the, maybe it doesn't have the infrastructure for IT purposes, maybe it doesn't, you know, all the wiring, maybe it doesn't have certain other aspects. You really have to calculate those costs as well, because with the cost of construction, that also goes into build out as well. And we don't want to wind up in a situation where you procure something that maybe it could meet your needs and you try to fix it up to a certain way that you will work, but then you wind up spending more than you would if you just started from scratch. But that all said, we know real estate in the city is, you know, at prime, and it's really difficult to locate something that right location, right price, right time. You know, it's all those three things are almost impossible to line up. But yeah, we're very aware, and we hope to see a precinct on the west side, and I hope it's done before I retire. But
so we're not looking at next week or anything.
Unfortunately,
no.
Probably not. You just never know. It's going to be one of those things. It's just like the right thing has to work out. And then once, I think that's the big deal. You just, and like you were talking about a minute ago, as that side of town on the west, as the west side is growing, what is the right location? You know what? You don't want to put something somewhere that maybe is not going to continue to develop, or maybe it's not going to suit those needs. So you have to be real strategic about that also, because these are things that it's not like we would do it one time and then put up another one 3 years later. So a lot of planning and forethought has to go into it. But the city's aware, and that's one of their priorities as well. I know it's been in our capital improvement plan for years to set aside some funds to do that. And whenever we'll be ready to hopefully staff that and meet that once those things line up.
Our next question from a listener deals with increasing in number of cars, which is different from increasing in number of houses in population. But they say that they live around the Thompson Lane area and the area around the Tennessee Miller Coliseum, as well as the soccer fields. Both are heavily traveled areas. And they keep hearing about the Cherry Lane extension, the Thompson Lane expansion, but they don't see anything, and they're sort of thinking they hope it happens in their lifetime. I know that feeling. Do you feel that something can be done soon to relieve some of that traffic problems? And that's a two-way one, but it both deals with not necessarily a lot of houses, although there are a lot of houses mm-hmm. out there, but it's brought on by a lot of people traveling to the Tennessee Miller Coliseum, a lot of people going to the soccer fields, which is only going to get mm-hmm. even bigger.
I know that the city has a plan for that Cherry Lane extension, and that's, I feel that when they get that running and completed, that will definitely take a lot of traffic pressure off of that side of town. Yeah. I'm not familiar with the Thompson Lane project that you mentioned, but I know that for years as the captain of traffic, I worked very closely with engineering with Ron Balachandram over at the streets, and you know, he's very very mindful of the need for relieving some of the traffic pressure through those types of solutions. Yeah. So it's always, you know, we've got some very capable city departments here that do a lot of great things, and I know they're working very, very feverishly to try to get that done.
Yeah.
Here's another question. This person says, it seems that we're having more shootings and things of that sort, gunfire situations. Is there an increase in that in Murfreesboro, more crimes of that sort? And if so, what can we do to reduce that?
Well,
big question.
Yeah, there's a lot to that. I know that our real-time crime center is going to, we're starting to see that piece of the police department really kind of pay dividends for resolving issues of that nature in our community. So thankfully, through intelligence-led policing, which is essentially orchestrated by the real-time crime center, we can deploy our resources more rapidly to situations that require it, and we can save our resources in other areas, and we can identify where we need more policing and how to address the problems that are identified through that intelligence.
So part. You have enough technology that is working now at the real-time crime center that is enabling you to actually reach out and do something about some of the issues.
We're starting to see the benefits of that technology.
I'd like to add to that too, the technology pieces of the tools, but the big lift behind that, there are people that in that center that have to take that information, synthesize it, and then put it into actionable things that our officers, our detectives, and all our folks can utilize. So they're growing. I think we're going to expand that by another person to try to help, just because they look at all kinds of data and all kinds of information in these technologies, whether it be license plate reader, some of the fixed cameras. And one thing that's we're working on deploying right now that I think Chief Gensler was alluding to is our shot detection technology. As those get out into the community and we start receiving that information, I know the installs are going on now, it's hopefully going to allow us to not only better respond to incidents where a gunshot is fired, but also to help maybe even do some, intelligence-led policing, some proactive enforcement. I know some cities, they've had that technology. I think it's Dallas, if I remember right. They've had that technology enough now to where they're using that to do some predictive patrols, to where based on the information that they're seeing, they can say, okay, in this particular vicinity, we feel like if we can put somebody here patrolling, this, you know, is going to be a preventative measure where this event, you know, may not happen. Now that's down the road, and that's a big hope. But just to kind of give an idea of what we're hoping to gain out of this is to work it on both ends. One, from the intelligence side, to be able to, when we do have these crimes, that we can put the pieces back together. But eventually get to the point where our officers on the street are being deployed in the right areas, the right times, to hopefully prevent some of these things from happening, or at least deter.
Now, obviously, you're going to call these sensors, I'll call them microphones, whatever you want to call them. They're things that pick up sound.
Yes.
To determine that's a gunshot. It's not a firecracker. It's not a backfire on a car. Mm-hmm. It's a gunshot. Now, are you going to need several of these all around the community? Otherwise, you won't know geographically where that really is. It's just a sound out there.
Yeah, it's a multi device deployment. I don't know the number of exactly how many there are, but that you're exactly right. That's what they work together to triangulate a position of where that is actually coming from. Chief, you may have some. I know that was part of your.
Yeah. So the microphones, the shot detection technology, and a lot of you may have seen them going up around town. Years of data we collected to determine the best location for those to be placed.
Are they real obvious?
I mean, that's what I was going to say is no, they're not very obvious. You would think they would be.
Oh, no, because people would want to shoot them.
it's about the size of a tumbler cup, uh-huh. And it's on what is kind of like a chain link fence pole, a black chain link fence pole with a tumbler cup is what the microphone looks like, and it has a very small solar panel similar to the size of Captain Williams' laptop screen there, a small solar panel at the top of it. So, you know, a lot of people were concerned when they found out these devices were going to go into their yards. They thought it was going to be a huge utility pole, but it's not. It's actually pretty small, and we're trying to work with homeowners who aren't happy with the placement to try to get them moved to a more appropriate location in the right-of-way on their property. But those devices working in unison together can, within about 60 seconds, determine where this gunshot occurred and dispatch officers who can get there much faster than before when we relied on people to call 911.
So you're sending out after you detect the gunshot. You're not waiting for somebody to call and say there's a gunshot.
And the alerts will come in. The officers can get there. You know, seconds matter when you're talking about gun-related violence. So we can get there in a much faster time frame to render aid if needed, if there is somebody who has been hit by gunfire. Our cops can get there much faster, which is important when you're talking about life-saving measures. So it also helps us to preserve that gun-related evidence. We can find and preserve and collect shell casings, which through our crime scene investigation techniques, we can use that ballistic evidence to run it in the National Firearms Computer called NIBIN and compare those shell casings to any other incidents that that firearm may have been used in anywhere in the nation. So pretty significant stuff happening with that ShotSpotter technology, or gunshot detection technology.
We're going to pause for just a moment and continue the conversation right after that. Our final segment will be starting. So if you have any questions and you think, I need to get it in quickly or the show will be over, get it to us right now. 615-893-1450.
The Braves play here. Hey, this is Ben Ingram. You're listening to the Mid-States home of Atlanta Braves baseball. News Radio, WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
For home restoration at a price you can afford, trust the professionals at Farrah Construction to get the job done on time and within your budget. Farrah Construction can remodel your home or can update your kitchen, bath, or other room. I'm Ron Hall. If you can dream it, Farrah Construction can turn it into reality. Call Farrah Construction at 615-893-6120. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Farrah Construction Company.
A heat advisory will go into effect this afternoon. Skies become mostly sunny this afternoon, a high in the upper 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 77. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 79.
Listen each weekday morning at 9 o'clock for the Roundtable here on News Radio WGNS. Interesting hosts and guests with the news, views, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
Welcome back. We're looking at law and order here in the heart of Tennessee. Visiting with us this morning from the Murfreesboro Police Department, Deputy Chief Kerry Kinsimer. Also visiting with us, Captain Clayton Williams, and Public Information Officer, a very quiet Larry Flowers. You really are hiding over there. Yeah. I haven't heard Larry so quiet.
He's co-producing with you today.
There okay. You go, there you go.
Larry, are you okay?
I am.
Okay. Anything you want to add to the... Any news updates that you need to share with us this morning?
Not necessarily, unless you have any particular questions you wanted to ask.
Are they doing, is Greg's team, they doing anything July 4th special-wise for a check? Are they doing any checkpoints this weekend?
I'm not quite sure. He didn't inform me if they were or not.
I'm sure he didn't.
Right.
He would have said it.
Just well, it is important to point out, though, that I think around 8:30, Medical Center Parkway from Broad to Thompson Lane would be closed to traffic because, you know, getting ready for that fireworks show. And then at 8:55, Medical Center Parkway between Searcy and Gateway Boulevard will be closed until the completion of that fireworks show. So if you're not trying to get to the fireworks show and trying to get to, you know, that area, you may want to find an alternate route so you don't get stuck in traffic.
And so you don't accidentally wander up on where the fireworks are being shot. Where are they? Are they over by the fire department?
I'm not sure. I think they've got them staged back. So where the fountains is, it'll be behind
there. Oh, behind the fountain.
Yeah, somewhere over there in that green space over there.
I think that's correct this year. I think they moved it from across the street to behind the fountains.
Yeah, don't go wandering in that area.
No, no. There'll be officers back there that will keep you from wandering over there.
Yeah. So be aware of that. And once again, we encourage people, don't bring your own fireworks.
Right. Please.
Don't bring sparklers. Pets? I don't think you're supposed to bring dogs or anything, are you?
No pets, no alcoholic beverages, no cooking grills. You can't grill out, Bart. So,
so don't drive one of those trucks full of food over there. Yeah. So be aware of those things. And in your let's go over and mention again the because we have about a minute left. The hours that you can shoot fireworks in the city limits of Murfreesboro.
So that's July 3rd, 4th, and 5th from 10 a.m. until midnight.
So that starts today.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Yes, sir.
I do know, too, I noticed yesterday the fireworks, if you go buy fireworks locally, they have a nice, wonderful handout that they've been given that has all those rules and regulations on there. So it's you'll have all the information you need when you go pick those up.
So shoot them and do it before the 5th.
Yes.
So you're not tempted to break the law.
Yeah. That's right.
Unless you're going to save them for New Year's. I mean.
Well, that's true. You could save them. They don't get old, do they?
I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes. I've tried that. But, yeah, they're just not as spectacular. If you wait.
And a final 4th of July thought from Larry. Larry, do you have a parting thought from everybody? I worry about Larry.
Literally just encourage people to, practice safety. We don't want to have to respond to calls where people are, aiming fireworks at someone or vehicles. That seemed to be increasing around this time. So just, be careful and enjoy the 4th.
Absolutely. Let's all get together and have a great 4th of July. And Murfreesboro is making that possible very definitely. Visiting with us this morning from the Murfreesboro Police Department, our Deputy Chief Kerry Gensimer. Also with him, Captain Clayton Williams and Public Information Officer Larry Flowers. Hey, have a happy and safe 4th of July.